turning the Bible to the book of Revelation. We want to read one verse from the 22nd chapter, the 20th verse. We want to speak this morning by the help of God from the subject of, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly." Not much mistaking who's speaking there, is there? Those of you that are somewhat of a Bible student know that this is a phrase straight out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Surely I come quickly." John says, "Amen." And he goes on to say, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel. Some of you have expressed your feelings about the condition that we're in the world today. And if you feel like me, and I think some of you do, we're into the last stages of wickedness of the world before the end of all things. I think it's pretty obvious that we are there. The people of God watch the decay and corruption of mankind under the influence of the devil that's going on today. And I believe that God's people who are conscious of spiritual things are vexed in their souls from day to day with the wicked deeds of people that have gone literally mad with the freedom of what I call unrestrained rebellion against the things of God. I believe there's a whole world of humanity today that have literally gone insane with this sudden lack of restraint about the rebellion that they're showing against God. Believers look around them today and see the promotion of wickedness on every hand. Everybody that wants to be bad seems like they're doing their best to be just that way. And there seems to be a spirit in the world that says, whatever you want to do, just do it. Lawlessness, wickedness, crime, just do it. And everything will be okay. Have a great time being lawless, being wicked. That seems to be the spirit that's going on today. And it seems like today, brothers and sisters, that the powers that are in operation, and there are powers in operation bringing this about. We know that this is the work of spiritual wickedness in high places. And the powers that are now engaged in destroying the witness and the reputation, the veracity of anybody who stands up and says something against this, these powers seem to be dominating the day. And because of that, it seems like there's nobody that can stand up today and say, this thing is wrong. This action is wrong. This behavior is wrong. This way of doing business is wrong. It seems like today everybody's mouth is being shut. And anybody who speaks out, hey, somebody gets busy right away, destroying their reputation. Go dig up something dirty on that guy. If there's nothing dirty that you can find, fabricate something dirty and put it out there in the public square so you can ruin their testimony. We don't want these people smearing us, so wreck them. Isn't that the spirit that we're going through today? Nobody has any validity today when they try to say to the wickedness of the world, this needs to stop. This is godless. This is wrong. Now, in this environment, brothers and sisters, that we find ourselves in today, God's people, I believe, long for these things that are going on to be made right. Aren't you sick of seeing evil go on unharnessed, unchecked? Doesn't it just eat away at you to know that day by day, wicked men and seducers waxing worse and worse continue to destroy everything that's upright, continue to oppose everything that's righteous, continue to stand against the very thing that are precious to the saints of God, and it's coming to the place where they're going to shake their fist in the face of God and say, if God's who you say He is, let Him do something about it. They're going to be allowed to do that, you know. It's coming to that. And we as God's people, We long to see these things be made right. We really long to see the insanity of wickedness and perversion that's going on around us be brought to a halt. But folks, that's never going to happen as long as men lead men. Never going to happen, much as we want it. As long as governments that rule the world are occupied by men of corrupt and faulty minds, none of this is going to be brought to a halt. It's going to grow. It's going to increase day by day. The very combination of having power, of wicked, corrupted, totally sold out to the devil, men having power, that blended with or mixed with their evil minds makes for an evil environment. And everywhere sin and wickedness dominates the day, sin and wickedness will have its will and way. Now, this kind of state of things that we're in also guarantees that people living under such godlessness as this are going to be made bold, very bold, to throw off every pretension that they're governed or guided by rules that the Lord has made. That's the thing that's happening right now. They want to be free, unchained from the rules of God. That's why this overall outright war against the presence or the witness of God in our society is at such a pitch today. Because our culture is caught up in this, and a lot of people today just want to be unharnessed from all of this. And in the midst of all of this, God's people look on, and we hurt. We suffer. Our hearts ache to see all around us a culture building wrath against itself, the wrath of God. So we look and we wait anxiously, brothers and sisters, for the coming of King Jesus, don't we? Think about it. How many times have you heard that Jesus, in His coming, is going to settle this issue? And He will. We know it'll be a glorious event when He gets here. But for those of us that labor at the end of God's day, which we're at right now, it may be more glorious than maybe for even those who suffered through the history of the martyrs. I mean, there were times when thousands of Baptists were killed because of their stand for the testimony. And those were gory and pitiful days for the saints of God. But we live right now in a case that hasn't been matched since Noah entered the ark. And in that environment, in that culture, in that world condition, I believe that for us who just literally suffer spiritually because of the wickedness that is abounding, I believe we're going to consider the coming of Christ more glorious than any generation could have ever considered it to be before. So what I want us to think about today, and I hope the Holy Spirit will guide us in this. I want us to think about this very thing that we see in our text verse. And in this generation of spiritual bankruptcy, I want us to think about this question. Why do we, in this generation of spiritual bankruptcy, want Jesus to come so much? I hope you do want Him to come. I've had people, when you talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, say, I don't really feel comfortable wanting Him, desiring Him to come. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I wish He'd split the clouds right now. Nothing would rejoice my soul more. You might say, well, what about lost souls that are around you? Jesus is able to save every lost soul that He ordains to save. I'm not going to worry about that. But what I do want to see is King Jesus split the cloud and settle this thing once and for all. Because the glory of my Savior is worth more than a bunch of wickedness being perpetrated in a world that has gone mad with sin and vileness today. So what the question is, why do we want this? Why would we in any way want this to occur, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I've already made obvious one of the primary reasons, and that is because the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to put an end once and for all to mankind's mockery of God, mockery of God's power, mockery of God's authority over creation. And listen, you see men going mad with sin and wickedness today, and you might think things are totally out of control. And in the hearts of men, they are out of control. Because men are doing things that are totally out of spiritual control, but they're not out of control of God. God is still in control. God still has authority over creation. It is still His world. This is my Father's world. And so, when Jesus comes, this mockery that's happening just now to everything related to God, this rebellion against everything that's related to God, this is all going to be brought to an end. And that's one real huge reason why we, as God's people, want to see the Lord Jesus come. You know, men today are mocking the creation of God, and they started that years ago, and say, oh, this is a big bang. Okay, let's let it be a big bang. Who did the big bang? They mock God. They mock God's creation. I know that the book of Genesis tells us that in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. I don't need more than that. Because God said it. And men go further than that today, as they always have. But to a greater degree than ever today, men are mocking the worship of the one true God. Oh, those religious fanatics, all they want to do is cling to their Bibles and their guns. That's mockery. And you hear it more and more today. You hear it all the time. Mocking the belief of God's people. So mockery is going on every hand. And men are mocking every aspect of God. Men are denying the existence of the one true God. Oh, there is no God. Well, you might say, well, that's been going on since the beginning of time. Yeah, it has. It's been going on since the beginning of time. But what about how much it's doing, going on today, right? Now, how about all the people in the United States alone that have suddenly stood up and said, quit playing this religion stuff. There's no God. Let's get this settled and out of the way once and for all. In fact, that's what's happening to our children in school. They're driving the idea out of them that there's God in the public school system. Men are denying God a place in the American society. Now, I know it's going on overseas, but I'm concerned about the U.S. of A. And men are making a concerted effort today to drive God out of the public square. Our own countrymen are devising and abetting ways to persecute Christians today. It's happening every day. You may have been, if you've watched the news, you know that it's happening here and there, and it's by little bits at a time. But everywhere around us right now, persecution has begun in the United States. Didn't it just make you sick when you heard about the fact that the Department of Defense suddenly decided that people could witness about Jesus amongst the ranks of military people? And said, oh, you can't do that anymore. There was such a hue and a cry about that over the first couple of 3 weeks after it happened that they had to withdraw their policy. I'm glad of that. I'm glad they had to shut their mouth and get things right. But listen, this is the tip of an iceberg that threatens to overwhelm the public of the United States of America, because they will not quit until they've shut the mouth of every witness that witnesses the truth of God. This is the kind of insanity that is creeping over our land, that is taking over everything that we know about. This will be the end of the saints of God when Jesus comes. This will be the end of the saints of God having their spirits vexed. I love that. I mean, when the Lord Jesus comes, the mockery is going to stop. The authority is going to be where it's supposed to be when King Jesus sits on the throne, and it's going to stop the vexation of the souls of the saints of God who in their faith have been mocked and have been persecuted even by national leaders and the brazen, wicked sinners of the day who hate the things of God. In Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9, if you go back there and read, the Bible says there in those verses, in that verse it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held." Brethren, I want to tell you something. Those souls that were slain for the word of God that are under that altar were slain because of the very Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience in our land, right in our own country, in our government. Those souls there in verse 10 cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" You see, they were waiting for what we're talking about. They were waiting for Jesus to settle things. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, I love this, not because I'm a hateful person, but because this is what our Lord and Savior is going to do. He says, "The Lord knoweth how to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." And I comfort myself with that a lot, because I always want to take it into my own hands. I want to do something about this. I want to have some say-so in shutting the mouths of the oppressors. But I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. There's a day coming. The Lord has it reserved, and it's waiting. He's reserving the unjust unto the day of judgment. And His coming means the start of that very process which is going to lead to the day of His judgment. So the first reason then that we want to see the Lord Jesus come is because it's going to put an end to the mankind's mockery of God, mockery of His power, mockery of His authority, mockery of His creation. And the second reason I believe God's people want to see the coming of the Lord Jesus, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," we say with John, because it will be the end of this godless, headlong rush of humanity toward judgment and wrath that we see going on right now. You know, all this kind of stuff here was just going on full blast one day long ago. Thousands of years ago, there was a guy hammering nails in wood. Probably wooden pegs, I don't know. And he was putting tar pitch on the seams of a big boat. And everybody was just living like they wanted to. And I go, wild, insane, with wickedness. God had looked down upon the earth. You find this in the 6th chapter of Genesis. He looked upon man and He saw that every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And He said, "You know, I've had enough of this." And so one day, there was a preacher of God working on the finishing touches of a big boat. And he had the door down and all these animals started going in the big boat. And then he got in the boat with his family. And God went, slam-o, and shut the door of that boat. And all of a sudden, some stuff started falling out of the sky. Drip, 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 drip. Drip, 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 drip. And pretty soon, the drip, drip, drip became a shower. And pretty soon, the shower became a torrent. And pretty soon, the waters began to rise. And in a day, God sealed the fate of every lost human being on the planet. And in that day, when He shut Noah in, The rains came and there was no turning back. And one day, King Jesus is going to split those clouds with the sound of the archangel and the trump of God. And when He does that, it's the last straw. And He's going to set up a government down here that He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And I want to tell you something, that's the last of men getting away with all the things that they're getting away with today. And that's one of the major reasons we long to see King Jesus come. He's going to put an end to the godless headlong rush of humanity as they seek to oppose God. You know, from the most simple citizen on the street to the highest leader of our nation, we see a spirit that is bent on approving everything that's twisted, everything that's perverted, everything that's despicable, and that everything that is to sure to guarantee the destruction of our nation. Everybody seems to be on board about this. Well, not everybody. The people of God aren't. And you know, there's some upright, upstanding citizens out here in our nation that aren't for it either. But it seems like even many of them have caved in and assented to these perverted things that our national leaders are approving. So it seems like it's just a spirit that's totally invaded the entire populace of the United States. I mean, what do we hear nowadays all over the place? Well, let them do what they want to. Just keep it to themselves. Maybe we've been guilty of saying that. Let them do what they want to. Let them do all their old perverted and corrupted stuff, but let them keep it to themselves. Don't force me to be participant with it. You might think, well, that's a good stand of thing. Well, is it? Or is it part of us assenting, or at least moving off to the side in regard to the corruption and the perversion that is going on in the society of man today? Now, when the Pharisees came to Jesus with perversion, Jesus said, that's not the way it is. Here's the way it is. It's wrong, and you Pharisees need to know it's wrong. It's wickedness, and you Pharisees need to know it's wickedness. And that's the way maybe we need to be saying things. Because it seems like if we get too far to the right or to the left with assenting to the perversion of mankind today, we are helping it along. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Don't we just feel really weak today? I mean, it seems like we're overwhelmed by all this wickedness and vileness. What can we do? What can we say? How can we act? How can we oppose? We're tired, aren't we? We're tired of fighting and fighting and fighting, and the more we resist and the more we try to stand against that which is corrupt and for that which is right, the more overwhelmed we seem to be feeling. Isn't that a great reason to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I believe it is. We're tired of governments across this nation collaborating with godless, perverted educators in a colossal scheme to brainwash our children into believing that parents are morons, and because they believe creationism and they believe in serving God, and that parents are narrow-minded because they believe only in heterosexual marriage, and that homosexual acts are in defiance of the very foundation of God's purposes for humanity. And as we're notice our children being taught that all of this is contradictory, we realize how full the circle has come where men are able to call good evil and evil good. Where to the place? I wasn't with Noah back there as he was hammering and sawing and everything, but I suspect that people coming by and looking at that figured out a way to say that Noah was perverted for building a big boat, and that his Goody Two-Shoes' life was trash because he thought that he was better than everybody else. Isn't that the spirit going on today? It is. Exact spirit. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then last of all, we want the Lord Jesus to come because of something I've already been hinting at all the way through. Because it's going to usher in government by King Jesus. Listen, brothers and sisters, Revelation 1 chapter 7 teaches us that He's coming with power. Behold, says the Word, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. The Lord Jesus is coming with power. He's not coming as a lamb to be slain this next time. He's coming with power. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He's coming with the power of God with Him, with His holy angels. He's coming to settle things between Him and humanity once and for all. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, when the Lord Jesus comes and sets up His great and holy and righteous government, there won't be one liar in the government of Jesus Christ. Not one liar. And so there won't be one lie, will there? That government will be built on righteousness, guided by King Jesus. There won't be one liar. You might say, well, that's a phenomenon, an anomaly that I don't think mankind has ever experienced. If you said that, you'd be right. You put a man at the head of government, and he'll be lying. You put two men at the head of government, and they'll be lying. You put three men, or 30 men, or 300 men, or 3,000 men at the head of government as leaders, and they'll be lying. God calls us all liars. And I want to tell you something. Liars seem to concentrate in government. You say, Brother Myers, why are you talking down government so bad? Government stands before men as the example, supposed to be the ultimate, highest example of how to behave. So, brothers and sisters, let's just take the United States. What is our government setting an example for us to be and do? Liars. We're up here, great and ruling leaders. We lie all the time. Oh, you're my example. Then I must be a liar too. I need to lie all the time. If I follow the example, that's exactly what they teach. Now I want to tell you, when King Jesus sets up His government, there won't be one liar in that government. I love that. For the first time ever, this old earth is going to see a government in which every official in that government will tell only the truth. You see what an anomaly it is? See what a phenomenon? There's something else. When Jesus sets up His government, there won't be one liar or one murderer that stands as a citizen of the kingdom of God when the final judgment occurs. We're heading toward the great white throne judgment when King Jesus comes. And after that 1,000-year reign, the nations are going to come against Him and His righteous government. And the fire from God is going to come down out of heaven and destroy them all. And He's going to call forth every human being not written in the Lamb's Book of Life for judgment before the white throne. And when He calls that day into being in the kingdom of God, where all the citizens of God are gathered, there won't be one liar or one murderer in the bunch. We can't say that about governments today, can we? And we can't say that about countries or kingdoms today. And there's something else glorious about King Jesus' kingdom that we see that makes us want Him to come. And that is that there won't be one revolutionary that'll be able to plot in secrecy about collapsing a nation, about enslaving a free people, about overthrowing a way of life in God's kingdom. Not one revolutionary will be able to secretly plot and effect any kind of destruction or wreckage or damage to the great kingdom of King Jesus. And I love that. Because, you know, today, it seems like there's a great push by people everywhere, by men that lust after power. There seems to be a great, great movement to be a revolutionary, to do something that overthrows the government, something that puts power out of the hands of those that are governing and puts it in their hands, makes them to be rulers of power, makes them to be dictators. There seems to be a spirit that comes right along with what we're seeing of the wickedness in the world today that demands that people at the top demand that they work toward making themselves totalitarian dictators in which the people have no rights, no privileges, and they rule everything. And there will be an end to that when King Jesus comes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I want us to stand and I want us to sing an invitation number. Maybe the Lord's dealt with you about something. Maybe you'd like to share that with us. Maybe you'd like to talk to us about something. We want to invite you to do that as we stand. Turn to page 183. We're going to sing one verse. If the Lord's laid something on your heart, we invite you to come. 183.